Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest today is RFERL senior correspondent Robert Coulson. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
All right. Well, one thing happening in Russia this week is that developments are expected or happening already in several high-profile court cases. Today, one of those cases came to a head with several alleged members of a group called the Network, SEIT in Russian, were sentenced to prison terms ranging from 6 to 18 years after a trial on what critics say are trumped-up charges of creating or belonging to a terrorist group. There were some other charges involved as well. Defense lawyers say the charges are based on a sting operation, essentially, and some of the defendants have claimed that they were tortured. Now, another hearing today was on an appeal or was expected to be a decision on an appeal by U.S. investor Michael Calvi against a ruling extending his house arrest. Calvi and several associates were arrested a year ago and charged with financial fraud. They deny any wrongdoing and say the case is being used against them in a corporate dispute over the control of a bank. Now, Calvi and some of his associates have been in custody, or he's under house arrest for about a year now. There's been talk in the past that, you know, about maybe a change. They were initially in jail. But so far, you know, the case is still going along and is not being tried yet. Now, later in the week, a ruling is expected on 21-year-old Yegor Zhukov's appeal against the verdict and three-year suspended sentence he received in connection with the protests in Moscow last summer over a city council election in which many independents were barred from the ballot. That was the Moscow City Duma vote that sparked major protests, several major protests during July and August, and I believe September 1 in Moscow. So hearings in a few high-profile cases this week. There are a couple others as well in somewhat lesser-known cases. This is probably not actually very unusual, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it. Pretty early in what could be his last term as president, Vladimir Putin has reshuffled the government last month and is pushing for constitutional changes that could allow him to retain power in some other role after 2024 or whenever he leaves the presidency. You know, possible he could make that change before then. Some of the proposed alterations in the Constitution involve high-level courts, but as far as I know, there's no sign of a change that might make courts more independent, which I think is one thing that many rights activists and others believe is really necessary if Russia is to become a law-based state and really change. I think when he was president, Dmitry Medvedev, you know, spoke about the lack of independence of courts, and it's sort of an issue that's continued to persist. Now, court cases that court cases that the defendants and their supporters contend are unfair or fabricated have been kind of a constant backdrop in Russia under Putin. Rob, do you think there's a chance that this will change in the next few years or the more distant future?
I certainly don't see any sign of it, Steve. I mean, you're right that some of the constitutional changes that Putin has proposed affect the Constitutional Court and the Supreme Court and would allow the president and the Federation Council together to remove judges. But those proposals are actually quite baffling because there's been no sign that the Supreme Court or the Constitutional Court has been unprofessional or out of control or anything like that. It's strange what they're trying to achieve with that.
Right.
Critics have said that those changes, though, make the courts less independent than they are now, which is certainly a small step backwards. But as far as the lower courts and the criminal courts, it certainly is a horrifying Kafkaesque system almost, where the prosecutors, investigators, judges all work hand in hand in a very opaque way that is completely unpredictable. Kafkaesque is the word that I would use to describe, and I think that anybody who sort of knowingly goes into that system by protesting or something is just a very brave person. You have to say something about the the defense lawyers as well, who go there every day and deal with that stuff. But there, it is a good measure to look at in terms of the disparity between what the officials say and what they do, because there's been no movements to make courts more independent to prevent the sort of lockstep between prosecutors and the courts and the judges that you see often. One thing that struck me about the cases from Moscow from the election dispute this summer was a lot of the cases that there were videotapes of the arrests of the people or their supposed crimes, and the courts almost routinely refused even to watch them in the court.
Right.
So the defense is hamstrung from throughout the process, and then they have to sit there and listen to the judge read a sentence, which is basically almost always a repetition of the indictment against the client. It's very
right. I mean, that's even. I mean, sometimes that I think that's caused confusion among journalists. Actually, when you have the judge reading the verdict, but it sounds exactly like what the prosecutors are saying. So I think it can be hard to tell, you know, is this the verdict or the charge. Interesting what you say about the changes expected, you know, in the offing for the Constitutional and Supreme Court, and the idea that, you know, really it's, I mean, some changes, some cases that are high profile, you know, the final decision is overturned in the Supreme Court, or so those sometimes have a big effect, but you know, as you say, I mean, I think the real kind of place where everything is happening is in the lower courts, where you know, the person is initially charged and tried. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, with Putin's proposed changes, one thing that people were saying, especially after the initial his initial State of the Nation speech, in which he called for them and described them, less so, I think, after the proposals were submitted to the Duma. But, you know, some analysts were saying, you know, it looks like this kind of shift, more power for the parliament, less for the president, could end up, at least in the long run, potentially creating stronger institutions. So it could be, regardless of what Putin's, you know, motives were, whether it's an effort to remain in power after 2024, you know, regardless of those, it could end up leading to stronger democratic institutions or stronger legal institutions. But I think that even that kind of optimism was, you know, there weren't really grounds in the proposals for that kind of optimism in terms of the courts. So, you know, again, that's something that it doesn't, there's no, you know, as you say, I think there's no real evidence that it looks like there's an effort to change that aspect. So that's something that may continue to be a challenge for, you know, for the country.
Yeah, there's two other things I'd mention as well. I mean, you mentioned that Medvedev used to occasionally say things about the independence of judges, but Putin, on the other hand, never really says anything about that. He's often asked about these cases, and he always says, "I can't interfere with the courts; right. They're independent." And to an extent, hasn't even acknowledged that there's a problem, which is very significant, I think, symbolically. Another thing, I've mentioned this to you before, and I think it's important to keep track of the case of investigative journalist Golunov this summer. He was arrested on trumped up. Falsified charges of drugs possession and dealing. The case quickly fell apart, and the police were admitted that it was falsified, and some people were fired, and some people are being tried, some police officers are being tried. But nobody has said anything about the judge who sanctioned the arrest, who just listened to this case, which, you know, even outsiders immediately saw was clearly absurd. But the judge just rubber stamped the arrest and had Golunov thrown into custody for whatever sort of treatment he would be under, and I think even democratic activists in Russia often overlook the role of judges and don't name and shame them enough, I think.
I mean, that's very interesting, because I mean, as you say, you know, sometimes you get cases that are overturned, or, you know, with some frequency there are cases where eventually the prosecutors are kind of, you know, pushed back and you know, so case is given, thrown back by the courts to prosecutors because there's not enough evidence or so that occasionally happens. But it hasn't actually struck me that, you know, and they become the scapegoats in some cases when the government decides or the government appears to decide, OK, we're not going to go with this decision that but I think you're right. And I hadn't really noticed that is that the judge is never touched. Right. So that means that the system is going to remain in place. It's just that, you know, the prosecutors will have a little bit of, you know, embarrassment or take a hit, but the system can remain in place with the judge. So I think that's, you know, that's a very good point.
Just one more thing. I mean, the opacity of the system makes it such that even when a case is overturned and appeals and go up and down and things like that, it feels more like theater than like an independence of the court in many cases. The case of historian Yuri Dmitriev is a good example. He's been persecuted for years over these charges that keep going up the courts and then come back down the courts, and he remains in custody during all this time. And that sort of thing is typical. So just because a case is overturned in a higher court and sent back down for reinvestigation or resentencing or something like that doesn't necessarily make me think that this is a sign of an independent judiciary system, but that this is a sign of the fact that they like to keep society sort of completely uncertain about what will happen to you once you get into the legal justice system.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think that's one aspect is this sort of almost trolling or you know, sending a signal to people that, you know, you can never count on your getting justice. And also, I think it's, you know, whether that, and I think it's, there's also an element of sort of theater in terms of or just pragmatism on the part of the court, the government, and by extension the courts, with cases like Zhukov's or Navalny's when he was, you know, not imprisoned after initially in 2013. You know, they make decisions seemingly based on pragmatic concerns. You know, are people going to protest? How charismatic is this defendant? That sort of thing. So, you know, again, those are some of the, I think, elements that go into the decisions that come out of the courts, but you know, those are based on the government's you know, self-interest. It seems. All right. Well, let's wind it down on that note. Rob, thanks very much for joining me. Always very interesting.
And thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
All right. Tune in next week for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. And please take a look at my weekly article on events in Russia, which runs on Fridays. Thanks for listening.